Good morning. Please have a seat. Take this opportunity to welcome us all to this time and this place of worship. As we gather this day, may we recognize and feel the Spirit of God as it moves in this place within the people of God who are gathered here today. If you're visiting with us this morning, a very warm welcome to you. We do have some visitors who are here as they celebrate the sacrament of baptism with family, and so we're so pleased to have you here with us this morning. There may be other people who are visiting, and so welcome to you as well. I'm Reverend Michael Mugford, and I'm in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside, and we're so pleased you have chosen to worship with us this morning. The order of service is in your bulletins, and just follow along with that. As we come to the various points in the service, we invite you to participate as you feel you are able. Do let us know if you're visiting that you have been here with us. We've got a guest book just outside the entrance of the sanctuary here. And please do feel invited to join us for a time of coffee and fellowship in the hall. As you leave the sanctuary, go left and keep following out. There's coffee and tea and sweets and some great conversation as well. So please do feel invited to join us for that. During the service, there is an offering, and we don't ask our guests to leave an offering, but if it's something you would like to do, there are guest envelopes in the pews, and we invite you to use those. If you do use them, please fill it out. Let us know you've been here. Our finance committee would love to say thanks for worshiping with us, and they'll send you a lovely letter saying so. If you think that Cole Harbor Woodside would be a great place for you to find your spiritual home, please see me or talk to me following the service, or drop me an email or a phone call in the office. The office will be closed tomorrow for the statutory holiday, but messages will be checked and emergency calls will be returned. So please do, if something comes up, do leave a message. Jennifer and I will be checking the office messages throughout the course of the day as well as emails. Those are the announcements, the welcoming announcements I wanted to share. As we gather here each Sunday morning, we participate in an acknowledgement of place. Part of the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of our nation was to encourage especially communities of faith and other communities as they gather to acknowledge the territories in which we gather. Here in Nova Scotia, we gather in the lands of the Wabanaki people, the Mi'kmaq, and the unique place that we have in our relationship with Indigenous peoples here is that our relationship is not governed by a treaty in which lands and property were signed over, but rather a mutual agreement of peace and friendship was signed between European nations and the Indigenous nations that gather here. And so as we gather, that is the groundwork for the acknowledgement of place in which we gather this morning. It's responsive in nature, and I invite you to respond with the bold type. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. We are first and foremost a community that gathers in the name and in the light of Christ, and with this candle, we remind ourselves of Christ's light in our lives and in our midst. We light a candle of peace, and over the last number of days in this nation and in the nation that is to our south, our brothers and sisters, we have seen acts of violence and lack of peace in many, many ways, as well as places around our world. And so, with this candle, we pray for peace, that there might be a way in which we can live together as peoples of this planet, in harmony and with respect with each other. We light a candle in which we honor the men and women who serve in our armed forces, both here at home and around the world. We think of those who are deployed this day far away from family and friends, that they might find our prayers of support and care and comfort, both to them and to their families here at home. We think of those who are in serving every single day in our peace forces, police forces, peace officers, first responders, firefighters, and EMTs. Those who staff our emergency rooms, lab techs and those who are support workers throughout our hospital systems, those who staff our nursing homes and long-term care facilities, who care for us when we are in our dire, in the moments of most dire need. And we honor them and their ministry to us this day as we light this candle. Our opening song, the words are on the screen. O come, let us sing. Logan is going to lead us in our call to worship this morning.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Let us pray together. God of all the earth and everything in it, we gather in this worship time, thankful for the goodness of the earth, the source of all that we are, and the place to which all things return. We are amazed by the ways that Jesus was able to use the items of earth to reveal the wonders of your love. We thank you for the images of the mustard seed that gives life and flavor to the world, the nourishment of grain and harvest, the wonders of yeast and its ability to leaven bread and all life. We are amazed at the ways these things teach us about your love. You have planted the seed of love into our lives. Help us to pour yeast into our hearts, that wonderful things may happen. May it be so. Our opening hymn is Soil of God, You and I. More voices, 174. Allison is going to share our scripture readings this morning.
The scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 34, and reading from the New International Version. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who has sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant said to him and said, "Sir, why didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable.
Thank you, Allison. The children who are here this morning, would you like to come forward for some time together? I'm going to get you to come right up here onto the dais, onto the stage. Whoa, careful, right up here. Come on, right up. Right up here to our shawls. Wow, we got a good number. Come on up. Every once in a while, as if by magic, a whole bunch of these shawls show up in our church service as part of our worship. But we know it's not by magic, right? How did these shawls get here, do you think? Come on up. People from our church made them, that's right. We have a shawl ministry called Shawls of Comfort and Joy. Come on up, Bennett. There we go. Right. So do you think that the people who made them, did they go to the store and just say, "Oh, that looks like a good shawl. I think I'll take that to church on Sunday," and they bring it and they put it right there? Do you think that's how that happens? No. How do you think it happens then? How do we get such? How do they make it? I don't understand. They knit it. So how does knitting work? Do you know how knitting works? You need some knitting sticks. And then you wave them around and you say, "Bazam, shawl," just like Harry Potter. No? How does it work? How does it work? You need some wool. Okay, so these are made of wool or yarn. Right, okay. So there's very special ways of moving those knitting sticks, isn't there? Knitting needles. Right? And I mean, I could pretend. Can you pretend to knit? Put your fingers like this, and you wrap the yarn around one part, and you tuck it underneath, and then I've watched people knit. So this, over and over and over again, creates these beautiful, beautiful shawls. Look at that. Wow. Amazing. And there's some that are one color, and there are some that are many colors. Yeah. Can you make a tiny one? Yeah, this one. Look. Yeah. And look at the colors that get chosen, right, for people to have. So yarn is a rather simple thing. You see a ball of yarn? It looks just like that, just like a, right, a ball. You get it, and it's called a skein of yarn. I learned that, a skein of yarn. And you roll it up into a ball, and then you can knit these beautiful things. I bet you, it might not be in the Bible, but I bet you Jesus talked about knitting or making fabric, right? I bet you he did. Maybe it didn't get recorded. Because Jesus in today's gospel reading talks about really ordinary things like seeds and wheat and yeast, all those simple things. And he talks about how God is found in them. How do we think God might be found in these shawls of comfort and joy? We're going to bless them today. I bet you people who make them pray, you know, they have a little prayer they share while they're reading them. How else might God be found in them? In the making of them, but how else might God be found in them? Well, we're going to give one to Arthur over there for his baptism. Right? We do that. So do you think Arthur someday might find God in the shawl that he gets? Yeah? Maybe his mom or his dad or his grandparents or aunts and uncles will wrap him up in it. And he'll feel God's love just wrapped all around him, just like a wonderful shawl. So that's how I think God's love gets shown in one way in these shawls, in the making of them, but in the giving of them and in the receiving of them, right? So we have a special job here this morning, right? We have to bless these shawls. Well, the rest of these, that's a really good question. The rest of these will go upstairs into the office, into a special closet. And when people come looking for a shawl, we get a call in the office that says, I think a really good friend of mine would really love to have a shawl. They come to the office and we give them a shawl and they take it to a friend. Sometimes myself or one of the other members of the pastoral care team will take a shawl with them to go and visit somebody. And sometimes we give them out at baptisms and other special times. And that's how they will go. And so almost as quickly as they come into the office, they have been going out. And so a blessing upon those who have been creating them over the last number of months and years. This is an amazing ministry, our shawls of comfort and joy. And it's one that we touch people all over the place. People who have no association with the church whatsoever call and they say, I hear you have a shawl ministry and I have a good friend who just really is having a hard time and would really love one of your shawls. And they come and we give them to them. So it's a way in which we share God's love with the whole world, regardless as to whether they are part of our church or not. So I need each and every one of us to find a hand we can place on some of the shawls, some here or some at the back. So come on in and help me bless them. Right? Everybody has a place? Good. Right? Everybody has a place. Bennett, and do you want to come in and share? No? All right. Sometimes we're shy. Come on in, and we're going to have a little prayer together. And I'll say a little bit, and we can repeat after me. We'll say, thank you, God, for the work of the people who create these shawls.
For the work of the people who create these shawls.
The prayers that they offer.
The prayers that they offer.
The blessings they share.
The blessings they share.
May these shawls be blessed.
As we receive them and as we give them.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. And I think we need to pick a shawl to give to Arthur this morning. What one do we think we should give to him this morning? This one? That's a beautiful one. Do you think, yeah? That's a good size for a baby too. You think that one? There you go. The children have spoken. And a little child shall lead them, right? All right, so we're going to have our baptism. So I'm going to invite you all to be seated here on the stairs. Yeah. You can hold it during the baptism if you'd like, and you can put it back up on there when you're done. Or maybe mom can hold it. That's okay. Okay, so you guys come on over this way, because I don't want to be standing in front of everyone. You're going to sit right over here. Come on over this way. This way, down that way, a little bit more. Good. And so I'm going to invite Megan and family to come on up. I'm going to go get I put my thing up here second time this morning and I lost it. Thank you, Megan. Well, it's good to have a good chair of unified board. So, Jennifer and Cordell. Oh, all right. So, you come on in here. All right, come on in here. I'm going to take this off and let you talk into that. There we go. We're going to get close. There we go.
Jennifer and Cordell have come here today to present their child for baptism, and we rejoice. Baptism is the church's way of celebrating and naming the grace of God living in every one of God's children. It is the way we initiate new members into the life of the universal community of faith. And it marks the entry point into the lifetime pilgrimage of following in the way of Jesus.
hear these words from the stories of our faith. People brought little children to Jesus for him to lay his hand on them and to say a prayer. The disciples turned them away, but Jesus said, "Let the little children alone, and do not stop them from coming to me, for it is to such as these that the reign of God belongs." And he laid his hands upon them. By what name is your child to be known? Little one, born of love, surrounded by love, child of the universe, we now name you Arthur Lucas Lupine. Take your name and make it your own. Live in freedom and fullness as you travel the journey of your life. Jennifer and Cordell, what do you ask of God's church at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church for Arthur? And we are happy to say yes to that request. God is the heart of life, and we are the heartbeat. May our hearts be filled with thanks and praise and songs of joy. We rejoice in the miracle of life. We claim the joy of water and the way it sustains us and nourishes us. Biblical stories speak of the preciousness of water, and they remind us that water is a blessing and the source and strength of life. Without it, creation cannot survive. God's love, like a shower of rain in a drought, awakens the sleeping seed within the soul and lures it to blossom. God's love, like crashing waves on the shore, breaks in on us, enfolds us, leaving us feeling vital and refreshed. We gather to pray, believing God prays in us. We give thanks for the gift of this water. May it be the birthing waters of a new and holy life. Amen. Thank you. Hands are a little cold. Warm him up a little bit. He's so sweet. He's sleeping. I don't want to wake him up. Okay, here we go. Oh, there we go. That cold arm. That cold hand. There we go. Arthur, in the touch of this water, ancient symbol of new life, I baptize you into the love and service and joy of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, source of life, companion, and enlivener, may the presence of the Spirit of love in you be nurtured and constantly affirmed by your family and your friends, and by your church community. May the sun and the stars delight and touch your heart with fire, so you may find passion to be creative. May you know God's blessing. Amen. And it's not in the bulletin, but this is the... Megan's going to sing. I'll be right back. Big space. I'll be right back. There we go. Start. There we go. Sweet, eh? Yeah. Poor choir gets, all they get is my back. There we go. Jennifer and Cordell, I ask you now to respond to God's graciousness to Arthur by making these promises. Will you provide for your child a welcoming home of love and trust? Will you help your child to grow in their understanding of Jesus and appreciation of a broad religious faith? Will you encourage your child to reach out to others with love and compassion? There is a long tradition within the Christian church of asking people to serve as godparents for children at the time of baptism. Jennifer and Cordell have asked Tina to act in that role. And so I ask you, will you support Jennifer and Cordell in the care and spiritual nurture of Arthur in the years ahead? Each of us knows the need for support and care as we share in the journey of faith. As this family gathers around this font and this water, symbols of belonging and community, let us pledge our care for them. I invite the congregation to stand. We say together, we stand as witnesses to the commitment this family has made this day,
and we pledge ourselves to their support and care as they discover the ways that the Spirit unfolds for them.
Thank you. Please be seated. We have a presentation from our UCW, Donna Rasmussen. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of baptism. May Arthur always know that the source of love lives and comes to unique expression in him. Bless these parents that they may always show their gratitude for the beautiful gift given to them. Bless the faithful people of this church community. May we all live in love and draw encouragement from the faith which connects our loving with the mystery we call God. Amen. We're going to sing as the children prepare to head for Sunday school. I can feel you near me, God. Do we remember this one? This is one of my favorites. We're going to jump for joy. Ready? Here we go.
I'll jump for joy unseen.
And there is Sunday school programming for you, for the children. Do you need a hand getting down there? Are you off to Sunday school? Here comes, there's Mom. To our choir and to Charles and Greg. Beautiful music. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. Oh God, may your spirit be the instrument for all of the words that I share this day. May it speak to not only our minds, but our hearts and our spirits as well. In Christ we pray. Amen. So today in our gospel reading from John, we encounter three short stories by Jesus. Amy Jill Levine, a theologian, wrote a book a number of years ago that our Tuesday morning Bible study, Tuesday morning thinkers, looked at called Short Stories by Jesus. And it was a book on the parables. And these parables were highlighted in a couple of chapters in that book. And I want to acknowledge her and her work because of the way in which she was able to engage us through her writings on Tuesday morning by opening up and giving us a perspective that's a little bit different than what we would normally encounter in the parables. I first encountered Amy Jill Levine as a theologian and writer when I was a student at Atlantic School of Theology. We were given an article from a theological magazine to read called What's a Nice Jewish Girl Doing Reading the Gospel of John? Amy Jill Levine is a Jewish theologian, and yet she specializes in New Testament and New Testament writings. And so I was intrigued by that title, and amazed by the insights that she had. And so when I found her book in the resource room, which is upstairs at the end of the hall, if you'd like to visit some mornings during the week, it's open from 10 until 1. But anyway, little plug there. It's a great book, and it's very accessible. Our Tuesday morning thinkers got a lot out of it. The basic premise of Amy Jill Levine in her book is that parables are not ever meant to be fully explained. We're not supposed to try and figure out what the meaning of the parable is, but rather we are to be engaged by the parable and asked to think about what a meaning it might offer to us. She says there is no one interpretation of the parable, in spite of what later contributors to the gospel might have shared. But rather, the power of the parable is that it is wide open. It allows us to insert ourselves in that story at various different times and stages of our lives. And so we are challenged by these three very succinct and yet complex little stories by Jesus. So I want to first focus on the parable of the wheat and the tares. Those of you who perhaps have grown up with the King James Version would see the wheat and the darnels, the wheat and the tares. And I'm going to leave it there for a moment as that, because tares or darnel is a particular term. And so as we looked at that particular term this last Tuesday, we tossed around what exactly wheat and tares or wheat and darnel is. And what we discovered, that darnel or tares is actually a type of rye grass. And it looks a lot like wheat when it's first growing up. And often it has often been confused for wheat at various different times in history. Now, a little bit further digging on the internet led me to find that darnel or rye wheat is kind of tasty when you add it to a little bit of food here and there in very small doses. It's rather noxious, however, if you eat too much of it. In fact, one of the colloquial terms for it is drunken wheat, in that it causes some impairment of various different motor and speech functions. And if you have too much of it, it's poisonous. So it's a rather interesting plant. So if Jesus is talking about darnel or tares, then we should be aware. But in most of our modern readings of the scriptures, we see the word weed. It's a weed, which got us thinking on Tuesday morning, what is a weed? What's a weed? Someone shout out an answer to me. What's a weed? Dandelions? What makes a dandelion a weed? All right. That's the... It grows in some place and you don't... So I shared a story. In many of my travels up and down the Valley Highway, there are fields on either side of the highway that runs between Berwick and Coldbrook. And one year, as I'm driving down the highway, I look over to my right, heading towards Coldbrook, and there's this beautiful field of wheat growing. It's lovely. And stuck up in the middle of that wheat field is a stalk of corn. Now, none of us would think that corn is a weed. However, in that particular context, corn is growing where it's not supposed to be growing. It'll cause a bit of a headache for the farmer when it comes time to harvest the wheat. So in that particular context, something as wonderful as corn could be considered a weed. So we need to be careful about the ways in which we encounter words. Now, a couple of years from now, when the farmer plants their corn and wheat starts growing up in the midst of it, the wheat will be the weed. And so then we talked about what it might look like if, as Jesus says in the parable, we let the two grow up together, the weed and the wheat. And what might that mean for us as Christians as we seek to live in faith in the world? And what we came up with was the idea that we need to let some things grow together to see what might bear fruit or what might bear grain and what we might be able to dispose of when harvest time comes. That's an important thing for us to be keeping in front of our minds as we as Christians grow throughout the course of our lives and our church's history. So Jennifer and Cordell, you have brought Arthur here today, and it marks an amazing moment in his journey of faith, a starting point. And this day can be formative for him and for you as a family as much as you choose to make it so. As the church that gathers here at Cole Harbor Woodside, we have made a commitment to be here for you as a family, Arthur, exploring the world through the eyes of faith, the eyes of service, the eyes of compassion, the eyes of justice, through the eyes of Jesus. And he will explore, Arthur will explore, and have experiences that will seem sometimes like wheat, and sometimes like weeds, as we all do. And we have promised to be here for you as a family, to help you, should you choose to ask us, discern your way through them. Trust in the one that has created both the darnel and the wheat, that each of those plants has a place in life. Sometimes the things that seem good will later on seem not so good, like that bag of chips you eat watching a movie. And what seems good now might feel out of place at other times. These will be the things that will be formative for Arthur as he finds his way in the world. It is important for us to remember and to realize that God is the source of all. God is the source of all that we are. And if we trust, if you as Arthur's parents will trust, you will help Arthur find his way into God's way. Wheat and tares, grain and weed are inevitable in life. One may seem like the other, and vice versa. Jesus calls upon us to watch and to wait. In the parable, the landowner tells the servant to let the things grow until we can be sure what they are. In the past, we have judged too quickly who or what was good, and who and what was evil. If we look at the parable from Jesus and look and see what is what, and be wise about our course of action, we will learn to grow both wheat and tares. Had we not watched and waited for things to grow and come to fruition, we might, as other Christian faiths have done, excluded women from ministry. And where might this congregation have been? We might not have allowed for there to be loving LGBTQ+ people in our lives. We might have excluded races and nationalities from our communities because in the past we judged them. We must watch and wait and learn that all people are people of God. That is the mustard seed of our faith. A tiny little seed that when we plant it, and we let it grow, It gives life. It gives shade. It gives comfort. This is the truth that we have in the world. The big T, capital T, truth. The overarching God truth. This is the leaven in our flour. A tiny pinch of leaven in a large amount of flour can make the world rise and grow. And that which would only be a handful of flour becomes bread for the world. And in our Christian faith, bread, when broken and shared, feeds all. Amen. Are there announcements that need to be shared at this particular point in time?
Good morning. On March 17th, immediately following church, there will be a congregational meeting around the budget. So that's March 17th, right after church.
Kelly, who's up in Sunday school at the moment, wanted me to pass along her thanks to everyone who provided for or participated in our first Gather on Thursday's alternative worship last Thursday evening. Here it went really well, and they're really looking forward to our next Gather on Thursday, which is the second Thursday in each month. That's just a reminder. I think it may have been every 2 weeks on the announcement, so it's just the second Thursday of the month. And a reminder that this Saturday, we have our next Families Connect, 5:30 we'll start and have a potluck meal. It will go a little bit later this Saturday as we're planning to watch the movie Wonder. Thanks.
Good morning. Due to circumstances beyond my control and a good many others, we had to cancel lunch at Fong's last Wednesday, but I took it on myself to make a change, and all we're going to do is change the color from red to green. So we will celebrate St. Patrick's Day this year on, I think it's the 13th of March, which is the second Wednesday in March. So, and also, I made a statement last week, and I was taken to task for it. I said that every lady would receive a hug and a kiss, and I was corrected by saying that we are now an affirming church, so on St. Patrick's Day, every man and every woman will receive a hug and a kiss from me.
Proper thing.
So we certainly hope that we will see as many out as possible, so we will continue announcing this. Thank you.
I just want to let you all know that maple syrup is starting again. And I want you to know I'm sort of semi-retired from the maple syrup because I'm going to help Naomi and Romy to look after it for this year. So we have to beat last year's numbers. So when you come out, there's a table out there. We can sign you up, but take a sheet, go home. If you live in an apartment building, knock on every door. See who wants maple syrup. We need to get the orders full, and we have to beat last year's number. So they want to continue doing this year after year. So make sure that you beat this last year's numbers this year, and they'll say, wow, we got to do it again next year. So I want you I introduce them to you. So I will help them this year do all the announcements, and maybe next year. How's that sound? You want to do it? So thank you, and we'll be out there in the where you get your coffee. Thank you.
I finally filled it out, by the way. So last week or 2 weeks ago, we had Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which was awesome. It was a great event. We hosted. We had a lovely time, great conversation. And one of the things that I was talking about were all the subscriptions that I love, because I'm busy and I can't remember to, you know, keep on top of things, and who has checks anymore if you're my age. And then, so, you know, Netflix and Spotify. And then it came up that, my gosh, as a church, we have a subscription. My wife and I have been writing checks. It's the only check we write a week, or really for anything. It's taken us a couple of years, more than a couple, but we finally signed up for PAR, which is our pre-authorized remittance. So monthly, it comes out of your bank account. I've got a stack of these things because I was given a form and didn't fill it out. So I'll be outside filling it out for you. If anyone would like to sign up for PAR, I'll do the heavy lifting. I have a pen. My hand is rested. I'm ready to do it. And my name is Johnny, for those who don't know. So please come see me outside. I'll fill out the form today. If you don't have a check on you that could be voided, by all means, I'll be here next Sunday, the Sunday after that, the one after that, and after that. So please feel free to come and see me afterwards, and I'll do all the work for you. You just have to give me your information. So thank you very much.
Top of the morning to you.
Hello.
The year is 1955. I'm Mickey O'Leary, and this is my brother, Murphy! Where the bejesus are you? Come on, boy, get up here. Oh, at least you're telling someone. As I was saying, this is my brother, Murphy. We are world-famous international jewel thieves.
Well, Mick, we're really just clumsy Irish gangsters.
They don't need to know that. Anyway, because of our reputation, the boss has begged us to do a heist for him and steal the Duke of Devonshire emerald. Yeah, that's it. What?
Mick, he doesn't trust us.
What?
And he threatened us with concrete shoes if we don't get the emerald.
Murphy, they don't need to know that. Anyway, our big challenge is going to be a seafaring high seas caper aboard the Emerald of the Sea while we go through the Panama Canal on our way to sunny Fiji. What?
We're on the North Atlantic and we're going to New York.
They don't need to know that. Anyway, the shows will be on the 3rd, the 4th, the 10th, the 11th of May. You get a nice big bowl of Irish stew and a pint of Guinness. Now what?
Mick, it's not that. It's a three-course roast beef dinner. And that they need to know.
Okay. The price of the show is $100 per person, paid in cash to me.
It's $35 per person. And the meal And that's only if you get your tickets before April the 1st. After that, it's $30.
$30? Guess what? They didn't need to know that. And there's a dress rehearsal on the 2nd of May with a meal of meatballs and rice. And the price of that, you guessed it, $50, payable to me in cash.
It's $20 per person.
They don't need to know that. Anyhow, it's going to be an evening of fun and good food. And now, I'm going to tell you how it ends.
No, they don't need to know that. Sorry, Mick. I hope you can make it. There's posters in the narthex that tells you the real prices of everything, and for goodness sakes, please don't give your money to Mick.
Darn, that's a hard act to follow. But on the 5th of March, we're going to have a Shrove Tuesday pancake supper here. It's not going to be your usual pancake supper, because most of you would know me, I do that whole healthy thing, so it's going to be hearty, interesting pancakes that are absolutely delicious and everyone will love, with stewed rhubarb and stewed blueberries, both of which I've picked and grown, and baked beans on the side. So I'm hoping everyone will come. It's been a long, long time since we've had a pancake supper here. Tickets are available, $10 each in the coffee tea room there, and $25 for families. Anybody that finding that difficult on their pocketbook, just let me know, and a ticket will come your way. And please, I'm hoping that everyone will come and we'll have a wonderful beginning of Lent season with Shrove Tuesday pancakes. Lots of people are going to help cook, and I'm looking for people, particularly men that don't usually cook because they like to do that pancake flipping thing. So I'm looking for some volunteers to help with the cooking. Thanks.
Our moment for mission time this morning is going to be focused on some of the work of our congregation, and so you're going to hear from various people to talk a little bit about that.
Good morning again. As you know, there was a great deal of discussion during our annual meeting around the opportunities and challenges as presented in the budget for our church. The Unified Board and Finance Committees want to share some information with you to help encourage us to all be able to support the proposed budget in a few weeks.
In the Joint Needs Assessment Report, as a congregation, we said we aspire to expand the leadership in our church to involve both lay and people and staff. We stated that we're open to new ideas and practices and ways of being. We felt we have the courage and the hopefulness in the face of tough issues or disagreements, to acknowledge our fears rather than being bound by them. Celebrate often and in various ways, the ways in which the Spirit moves in our church. We envision governing ourselves in such a way that is innovative, responsible, efficient, and that will energize us to help achieve a greater diversity, as well as offer deep hospitality across all the borders that isolate and alienate people.
As we look at the last 2 years, we can show how we have worked toward this through our child and youth ministry. Support from each of us has allowed us to contract with a congregational designated minister to support the vision of ministry to children and youth in our congregation. New programs such as United Kids Connect and Families Connect really take off. We've been able to transition to a new Sunday school program that is helping our young people learn about their faith in new ways, and our senior youth group continues to thrive.
In December, through the former Halifax Presbytery, we were able to bring further fulfillment to the portion of the associate minister's position by appointing a minister of spiritual and pastoral care. This has allowed us to reach out to support baptismal families who have, and to initiate alternative worship opportunities such as Unplugged and this week's Gather on Thursdays. We hope that this form of engagement beyond our congregation will continue to bear fruit in the months that are to come.
In seeking to ensure that the care and comfort of Christ is for all who find their way to Cole Harbor Woodside, an affirming ministry team guided us through the process of becoming an affirming congregation in the United Church of Canada with a vote of 95.5% in favor. Yay! The Affirming Ministry Committee will continue with the support of the congregation and the ministry team with an implementation plan that will help us to continue to open our doors and hearts to all people, making the wider community aware that Cole Harbor Woodside is a safe and supportive place.
We continue to do amazing work through our outreach ministries, such as Food Bank, Healthy Living, Foot Care, Prison Ministry. There are fellowship groups providing us the opportunity to engage participation from various parts of our church. And as always, our UCW, Women, Wine, and Worship, Church in a Pub, Quilters, and Bible Studies continue to allow a wide variety of members of our congregation to participate in our work.
Moving forward, we're looking at even more fellowship groups and opportunities, more opportunities for outreach to the community. All of this is only possible with the support of each and every one of us through our time, our talent, and our treasure.
As aware, I'm Gord Rose, Chair of Finance. Our committee wants to thank you for your generous offerings in the past and moving into the future. This morning, I'd like to state our committee's responsibilities to you, the congregation of Cole Harbor Woodside. Our task is to be fiscally responsible for all the funds under our control to ensure that we remain financially viable. We don't want to be a hindrance on any of our ministries, but we must ensure we have adequate funds to allow us to continue the good work of our church. So our duties include banking responsibilities, create and manage a budget, and budgets are necessary for any church to function properly. Our members are responsible for creating a budget, ensuring funds are being allocated properly. Budgets need to be adjusted if donations drop or extra money comes in. Our committee members have the expertise or experience needed to make responsible financial decisions. I thought about this one earlier. I thought, there's three members of our finance committee that sit on unified board. I was wrong. There's actually five of us, all coming from different roles. Michael's on our committee. He attends. Lee is there as past chairman of Unified Board. So when we go to Unified Board, we keep everybody abreast of our church's financial state. That said, we've reviewed the current budget prepared for the annual general meeting and have made no adjustments to it at this time. We believe it's correct based on the current wishes of the congregation. The JNAC committee and you, the congregation, have expressed your wish to hire an associate minister. We prepared the cost estimate for 5 years of a newly ordained half-time minister being hired and added 1% inflation to each of the 5 years that we've done this for. The average cost of this position would be approximately $32,000 a year. In order to determine if this can be financially viable, you will find a focus on our future mission commitment form in your bulletin next week, and I believe online on the church website. We'd ask that you consider completing this form so that we, the finance committee, can determine if this option is feasible. If not, we must determine what is feasible and advise you accordingly. All commitments will be added to local givings to support church budget.
Gord and I didn't coordinate on this. If we repeat ourselves, it's okay, because you'll get it twice. That'd be okay. So I have the task of summarizing the numbers for you. And I'm going to try to make it as simple and concise as possible, because we all know that numbers can be very confusing. So while some have commented that there appears to be money around that isn't being used, finance only has access to money that has been transferred to the church and is unrestricted. The latest budget hit that we have is increased property tax, and apparently there's nothing we can do about this, unless somebody has some ideas. The increase in maintenance cost is more a result of a change in treasurer and accounting procedure. However, we do have a dedicated revenue source for this, and we can direct this money towards this expense, so we're okay on that one. The big issue is the increase in staffing cost, and in particular, the associate minister position. It first appeared in the 2017 budget. Looking at overall growth in the budget, from 2016 to 2019, total budget increased by 11.3%. For this same period, staff salaries increased by 24.1%. So to look at another way, likewise, in 2016, staff salaries made up 61.7% of the total budget, and in 2019, they make up 68.7%. So in absolute values and numbers, we went from $144,000 to $178,000. So let that sink in for a second. That's your $34,000 or so that we're talking about, $32,000 to $35,000. That's what we're looking at as an increase if we add a staff member. So, having said that, this isn't necessarily a problem if there's a corresponding increase in revenue to cover the increase in cost. And that's why the amended motion at the annual meeting has us going to the congregation for an increased financial commitment. In fact, it would have been a good idea to do this in the first place, really. So, as Gord said, the task of the Finance Committee is to consider the numbers and present a budget to the congregation. We have no bias, right? We present the facts as we see them. And to do otherwise would be shirking our responsibility. So in terms of process, when the pledge sheets come in, the results will be reviewed and presented to Unified Board. A recommendation will be then brought back to the congregation for its consideration and a decision on how to proceed. And Gord will finish.
So next week, I'm hoping, you'll find a box in the narthex where the completed forms can be placed. Only two people will visit, review those forms. That's the treasurer and the envelope steward for confidentiality. And they'll report the total amounts that are committed so that we can make the decision or recommendation as to how we proceed in future. As Johnny said, PAR may be the solution for you. If so, please complete a form available from him. Thanks again for your time on this important issue for our congregation.
Having said all that, I didn't contemplate any questions. But if you do have one or two, Gord will be happy to answer them. Anything at all? So we've tried to be concise. We've told you what all the church is doing. We're telling you what a new position would cost and what we need to get there, and it's up to the congregation whether we do that or not. Thank you.
Thank you. The church's mission exists around our world, but also exists here within this community. And through our offerings, we support the work of this congregation as we work here, out in the community, and around our world. Our offerings will now be received.
Thank you.
Let us pray. These offerings brought forward, O God, through these offering plates, through the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, through the ways in which we serve, we give thanks. May they be blessed as we seek to bless those whom we walk with each day. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Let us join together as the people of God at prayer. The stories of our faith as we find them recorded in our scriptures, O God, are meant to inspire. They're meant to challenge. They're meant to renew. They're meant to help us see you in the places we encounter them in our world. Jesus told stories to help people find their way more deeply into your spirit. And we tell stories. Jesus gathered with people sometimes on a mountaintop, sometimes on a plain, sometimes on a hill, sometimes in a home. And we gather, sometimes here in the church building or restaurants, sometimes we gather in homes and meeting rooms. In all of the things that we do, in all of the places we are, we find ourselves in you and in your spirit. For we are your people. We are people of faith, called to share your light and your love in our world. Continue to bless the ministries of Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, the ways in which we minister to each other, the ways in which we welcome new people into our family of faith through baptism, as we did with Arthur this morning. The ways in which we welcome folks through transfer. The ways in which those who are just visiting pop in on a Sunday morning and worship with us. Remind us of the ministries that carry us out into the world to serve. Those who go to prison in Burnside to bring worship and song and message. Those who go to the nursing homes, to Parkland and to Ocean View, who worship there. Those who visit our individuals in our churches. Those who work behind the scenes, getting coffee ready for fellowship time. Who organize the food and the worships, who invite us to gather for fun and to connect with other families in our church. You have blessed us with abundance, O God. May we continue to share that message of your abundance in the world. Help us to always remember that you would not send us into mission without being equipped, called, and prepared, for you walk with us each step of our way. Help us to hold one another in love and in care. Help us to visit, to pray, to read, and to worship. This is our prayer this day as we gather and share together in the words inspired by Jesus as we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as on heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trouble and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, our closing hymn this morning, number 503 in the Voices United, When Seed Falls on Good Soil.
Thank you.
are God's good soil. We are God's seed. We are God's light and warmth and love and joy. Let us go as all of these things out into the world to share that light, that love, that message with a world that seems hungry for good news. Go, my friends, and bear to the world.